Cricket, dreaming about a Premiership Cup. We love our clubs, but they never win. Two flags in 100 years.
The shit house.
If you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
It's Wednesday, May the 8th. Welcome to Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And my name is Charlie Clawson. And Will, you're back after a big Doggies win.
Yeah, look, to be honest, I don't think I'm actually right to be back. I feel like, Spencer held his place in the team. I feel like I'm not fully recovered, you know, from injury. I've essentially rushed my way back into the seniors based on the fact that I'm not sure the Bulldogs will have a win that good for the rest of the season. So I felt like if I was going to miss another week, I can miss next week when we probably lose. I can't miss this week. There's so much to celebrate in Bulldogs land that I had to get up for this game. Even though that I'm underdone, I'm probably not going to bring my A game. There's going to be a lot of questions, Jordan Lewis style, about whether I should still be playing, whether I'm still contributing to the podcast, or whether it's time for me to be retired out into, get some fresh blood. The rebuild of the Two Guys, One Cup brand.
I think it's about team balance, Will. Sure, you're a bit underdone, but I think that if Spencer had held his spot, then it would be two guys talking about losing teams, and we don't want that. We want team balance. So at least the Doggies had a win. So sure, you are underdone, but I figure like an 80% Will Anderson is going to be better than 100% Adam Spencer after a loss.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, and Spencer won't hear this because he did say on the podcast that he doesn't listen to it when the Swans lose. So yeah. I imagine we can say whatever we want about Spence this year and he's not going to hear any of it. It was amazing, the Bulldogs. I got to watch the game. I did not go. I was invited to the game, but I've had a lot of stuff going on in my real world. So I did not go along, but I did get the opportunity to sit down in front of the TV and watch the game. And as you know, Charlie, I'm not a huge fan of watching the Bulldogs play live. It's not something that I really enjoy.
No, and it's an endurance test for you more than anything.
Yeah, it really is. And I was about 15 minutes into the first quarter and we were kicking badly in front of goal again. And it was just all the same things that have been happening the last few weeks. And there was a part of me that was like, you know, I haven't watched Game of Thrones yet. I could watch Game of Thrones on my Saturday night instead of watching this for the rest of the night. But I was like, no. You know what? They're probably going to lose tonight, but this is a good opportunity to just watch them play, see where they're at, you know. And then I was so glad that I made the decision to do that, Charlie, because it was actually, I mean, I can't imagine the Bulldogs will play a better game than that, for the rest of the season. And in fact, if anything, I think it was almost the best game I've seen them play since the 2016 grand final. I just thought they were fantastic. Now, obviously, it would be handy to us if every team we play for the rest of the season is missing their four best players. That certainly helps a little bit. But we do traditionally play quite well against Richmond. And to see Bontempelli just, you know, playing so magnificently, but more than that, to see the astronaut, Aaron Norton, a guy who was going to be our only hope in the back line like 5 weeks ago, who now is the modern day coming of Chris Grant, to just see him play that game. I can't remember when I've seen a guy mark that well. Like, you watch the AFL these days, and even the best marks are all sort of two grabbers. But he just, every time the ball went to him, he'd just take it in one grab. It was amazing.
He reminded me of a young Levi Casbolt, but could kick. Like he does have that kind of Stuilo Buckets-esque, you know, just run and jump, grab the ball at the highest point and big sticky hands. Like, you're right, that was the thing. It was the one grabs. That's so impressive. Like, you really don't see that very often at full stretch or at full speed in a contested situation to have a guy just have the ball stick to his hands like that. Soft hands, you might say, Will.
Well, also, he just has that sort of very casual, instinctive, like, marking ability. So they're all really good marks, but it's not like he's going for big hangers or anything. He just takes really nice, you know, pack marks.
I think Chris Grant is a good analogy. Obviously, because of the colour of his jumper, but Chris Grant had that he was a superstar, but it was that workmanlike quality and that kind of old school utility where, yeah, you could put him at centre half back, but he could also chuck him forward if you needed like a clutch goal. It's very exciting stuff. I mean, it feels like that kind of season where, apart from, I reckon, Geelong and Collingwood, I feel like it's really topsy-turvy. Like, the journos are going to have so much to write this year because, you know, 2 weeks ago, the Saints were the toast of the town. Now the bubble has burst. And Richmond were, you know, 2-3 wins in a row. And, you know, they're overcoming the injuries. And it's just going to – I feel like apart from Geelong and Collingwood, it's going to be like that for the rest of the year where, you know, you just – your team is going to have patches where they lose 3 in a row and then they'll win 2 in a row and they'll lose 3 in a row. And win. That middle table – those middle table teams are just going to be frustrating this year.
Well, we've spoken before about, you know, the – camaraderie down at Richmond, you know, and the fact that they all appear to be best friends. We may have even made the comparison to the TV show Entourage at different times. Well, there was nothing that looked more Entourage than the shots that they had of the players who weren't out on the field. Did you see any of this where they would cross to the box and they would have Rance and Riewoldt and all those guys were just up in this box watching the game. And Jack Riewoldt was sitting in a way that could not have been more out of the TV show Entourage. Like, I think there's a term called manspreading. He was certainly making sure his opponent couldn't get anywhere near him, even in the corporate box where they were watching the football.
Did they have sunglasses on at night? One of them's constantly texting.
I mean, there was that real feel of like, it looked less like they were all sitting around watching the game and more like they were doing a photo shoot where they were meant to simulate how cool guys would sit around and watch a game.
Was it, okay, was it more cool guy than when Chris Hemsworth and Matt Damon saw the Bulldogs play in round one or round two?
Yes, because that was just two, that was two actual cool guys becoming footy nuffies, right?
Yeah.
They weren't actually trying to be cool guys, whereas this looked like a photo shoot where they went, hey, everyone, just act cool. Like, it was like Jack Riewoldt basically had been studying pictures of people acting cool and had tried to replicate the cool look. He was like up in the corner of the box, like up on something elevated, and then just kind of leaning in the corner and then just like legs spread and sort of cocked at the same time.
It's a good question, actually. Like, if you had to nominate, who is the coolest player in the league? Like, I mean, I know Nat Fyfe desperately wants that title. But, you know, I mean, I feel like with Nat, it's just a little too practiced. But is there a player that you're like, he seems like a cool guy?
Okay, so naturally cool as opposed to...
Naturally cool, and not just in demeanor, but also their style, their individuality, all that kind of stuff.
That's a really good question, actually. Who is the coolest?
Who's the Fonz of the AFL?
Yeah. is Alex Rance cool?
Nah.
No?
No.
Okay, no. Good. I'm ruling out.
Max Gawn, if he didn't look like Max Gawn, but Max Gawn has the attributes of a cool guy because, you know, he's an individual. He, you know, doesn't he have like a cafe he runs out of his garage or something?
Well, he used to have the pop-up cafe in his garage. Now he has a wine bar.
But he looks like a bloody Jim Henson Muppet. So like he's let down just on the physical front, but there's got to be a dude who's like, he's a real cool guy.
I mean, I will say this about Maxi Gawn. One of the things that does make him a bit cool is that he looks a bit like a barista, even though, you know, he's got that look. But also, he used to have a cheeky dart on the way to training, which is the sort of thing a cool guy would do, you know, smoking around the back of the shelter sheds. Like the idea that he was having a dart in his car on the way to training, like that is kind of classic cool guy behavior.
Well, I guess you've got to look to the AFLX and all those arrivals. So what? You had Alex Rance arriving on a skateboard. You had Tipper or Waller showing up. Who else? Eddie Betts. Nat Fyfe, obviously. I mean, I think you keep going back to Nat Fyfe for the pure image of it, but it feels a bit pretentious. Is there a guy who's genuinely like, you feel like you hung out with him and you'd be like, wow, man, I really like him. He's a cool guy.
Who's the coolest guy at the Saints? Let's do it club by club. Who's the coolest guy at the Saints?
Is the coolest guy at the Saints? I don't reckon we have one. I don't know if we have any.
Is
cool
Josh
guys.
Bruce cool?
Yeah, but then he's had a kid and he's cut his hair and he's gotten all like sensible. Like he was a cool guy.
Used to be cool, man. He used to be cool.
Yeah. I don't know if we have any particularly cool guys. I mean, we got a lot of got a lot of jokers. Like, if you take the captain to sort of, you know, be the epitome of you know, what your team represents, like, Jarryn Geary is just like, this is what they always say about Jarryn Geary, which cracks me up. He always knows when to have a laugh, but he knows when to knuckle down. That's Jarryn Geary. Jarryn Geary's not cool. He's a no-nonsense kind of captain. What about Adelaide? Who's the coolest guy at Adelaide? Tex? I mean, he's got the coolest name.
Eddie Betts is cool.
I guess he is. Is he?
He's naturally cool. If you're talking about the opposite, he's not going out of his way to be cool, but he has just a natural presence that everybody likes. Like, you'd be like, hey, Eddie's here. He's cool. Don't worry, Eddie's here.
And Eddie has that bad boy history as well, a bit like Dylan on 90210.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you know that he used to do bad stuff in the day.
Yeah, but now he's cool. Now he's like a nice guy. And he just still kicks excellent goals and everybody loves Eddie.
Who's the cool guy? I reckon Patrick Cripps. He seems pretty cool, doesn't he? Like, he seems like another like good-looking rebel who plays by his own rules.
Yeah, Cripps seems like, but he seems almost a little bit nice to be cool. That's the only thing I would say about him. Like, I would have thought at Carlton, who's your cool player at
Charlie
Carlton?
Kurnow, like, with his floppy hair?
Yeah, I reckon that's more your vibe. You got your Charlie Kurnow, maybe even like, is Dale Thomas still cool, or is he like an old guy who's trying to be cool?
Yeah, he's like,
the guy who used to be cool.
Yeah, he's like, when you go to a high school party and there's some 25-year-old guy there trying to pick up chicks.
Yeah, he's Matthew McConaughey in
Dazed and Confused.
Yeah, Dazed and Confused.
What about Collingwood? Who's a cool guy at Collingwood?
Degoe. Is Degoe cool?
Nah, Bogan.
Yeah, but he's probably the rock star, right? If you walked into a room and Degoe was there, I reckon he's the one who soaks up the
because he's like getting bitten by his dog. He's like the dude at a party who always pushes it too far. That's the cool guy sits in the corner being mysterious and enigmatic. Degoe's the one putting a lampshade on his head.
Okay, I'm willing to admit that. That's fine with me. Is Darcy Moore cool?
Yes. Yeah, look at that hair. You've got to be cool to get away with that hair.
Do you? It's a real fine line. But maybe that is the definition of cool. Is that, like, you know, that thing where you're like, I think the people who are actually cool are the ones that you can't work out whether they're super cool or whether they're like, it's just a complete and utter nightmare. It's like fashion. It's like high fashion. It's very hard to tell often the difference between something that's high fashion and a homeless person who's just rolled around in rubbish.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that thing too of like a cool guy, you know, often like, when you meet someone who's very quiet, I immediately assume they're cool because I'm like, oh, this guy's not trying to impress me. So it could be like, you know, at Collingwood, like maybe someone like Pendles or something. You know, Pendles sort of, you know, he just presents quite well. He doesn't need to draw attention to himself. He just gets the job done all the time. But I don't know, he doesn't look very cool, Pendles.
You know who it feels like he's cool to me, but maybe he's not, is Jaden Stevenson. Jaden Stevenson, because he's like, he seems nonplussed, is what I would say. Like, he seems to have that attitude of like, yeah, whatever, anything. But I heard this week, did you hear this? That apparently he's playing without underpants.
Is that allowed?
I don't know if there's rules, but...
I mean, should be rules.
Forget socks. I know there's rules that you have to wear socks, but I think a whole new area for us to explore on this podcast is the idea that somebody might be playing without wearing underpants. That can't be true, right?
That can't be true. And that's got to be dangerous to your balls and stuff, right? Like,
why have
them
swinging
around in a contest?
Well, how do you not have it escape? I can imagine if you had the Eddie Betts style long shorts, but if you've just got a regulation pair of shorts, Mike Howell, can you Google Jaden Stevenson Collingwood and whether he wears underpants? Because I heard this on pretty good authority this week. That he's running onto the field.
Will, I know you reckon
underpants.
You've come back underdone, but mate, you are straight into the top shelf material. Does
first 12 minutes on who's the coolest player at your club, and then does Jaden Stevenson wear jocks?
What about Geelong? Who's cool at Geelong? I reckon Tim Kelly. Tim Kelly.
Yes.
Because he's enigmatic. He wants to go back to WA. He keeps guessing.
And he's just a superstar. Yeah, I think he's cool, definitely.
Yeah. Treat you mean keeps you keen. That's what Tim does. He's the bad
boy.
What
about some of those backline guys? It feels to me like, a couple of those Geelong... What's the name of the really good Geelong backman? Blixarves, is he cool?
I don't know. I don't know anything about him. I couldn't even pick him out of a lineup.
No, Tom Stewart I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. He's not cool.
He seems cool.
No.
Is he not cool?
No, because I think about that rundown he did last year or the year before, and that just showed desperation. And cool guys don't run people down. They just walk slowly and they stop and light a cigarette.
Yeah.
Cool guys don't show desperation or heart. Like, that's what you don't want. Cool guys don't do one percenters. That's what I'd say. If your team has a cool guy, then he doesn't do pressure acts.
Okay, so it rules you out. You're like, yeah. Oh, no, he's too cool. He's too cool to go for that second effort. He's too cool to lay a smother.
Yeah. What about the Giants? Who's a cool guy at the Giants? We've got all of them.
Here's the bigger question. Who's not the cool guy at the Giants? They're all cool guys down at the Giants.
I reckon Himmelberg is probably the coolest because he's got the hair. You know, he looks a bit like the douchebag guy from Good Will Hunting. You know, the one who tries to humiliate Will in the bar. And how do you like them apples? He's got that long sort of stringy hair.
I think Lockie Whitfield probably is cool.
Apparently. Cool. Yeah. It's a guy you want to party with anyway.
You cool, man? You cool? You're not a cop, right? No, we're cool. We're cool, man.
What about Brisbane? I reckon Rayner. It's got the haircut.
Yeah, Rayner's cool. Yeah, and certainly Rayner's not doing any one percenters.
No.
Or any of the 99 percenters most of the time, to be honest.
Freo, Nat Fyfe would be the coolest of them, would you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, unless Jesse Hogan. Jesse Hogan's got the bad boy thing going on.
He's more your bad boy. That is cool. Like, I mean, there is an element of like, you know, if you could meet somewhere between Jesse Hogan and Nat Fyfe, you're in a pretty cool circle, I would have thought.
What about Port?
Who's the coolest player at Port?
Cool.
This is a hard one, actually. Who is cool on the...
Instinctively you'd think Robbie Gray, but it's like, nah, he seems to care too much.
Yeah.
Oh, Charlie Dixon? Is he cool?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's cool.
No.
I don't think he's a cool guy.
What about Paddy Ryder?
Is Paddy Ryder cool? Maybe.
No.
He might be cool.
Well, I think he's kind of cool.
You know who I reckon? We might have a rising cool star.
Yeah.
Because Connor Rosie, new recruit, he strikes me as a guy who's got a lot of cool upside, a lot of cool potential.
Yeah.
If you're doing a rising star of cool, he would be way out in front.
Any guy who goes for a bounce in the wet and then just laconically slots it from 40 out, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, what about, we talked about the Tigers, didn't we? West Coast, JJK.
Yeah, JJK, he's cool.
Bombers?
Who's the coolest player at the Bombers? I guess Jake Stringer's not cool, is he?
No, he's in the DeGoey category.
Yeah, he's your bad boy.
Cool. Waller, is he cool? No, he tries too hard. Too many one percenters.
Doesn't really, too many tough tackles.
Dylan Scheel.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Smooth.
Maybe that was the problem with the Bombers. They felt like they didn't have enough cool on their list. Is Joe Danaher cool?
Nah, goofy.
Goofy, okay, all right, there you go. All right, that's good. Here's the rule. Can't find anything about Stevenson not wearing underpants, Mike Howell says, but found the rule. It's rule 4.1, clubs and uniforms. Stipulation A, for the purposes of these regulations, I is a uniform. Okay, a uniform includes, but is not limited to, a Guernsey, shorts, undershorts, socks, headbands and gloves. Now, that doesn't mean that all of those are compulsory, though, because you don't have to wear a headband and you don't have to wear gloves. I want to know what is compulsory. Is it compulsory for you to wear underpants in a game of AFL? Like, I think most people would do it, but is it compulsory?
I doubt it'd be compulsory because, I mean, how are they going to check? How are they going to know? Unless they...
Well, there's really one very obvious way that they might know, when your balls or your doodle fall out.
Oh, I'd like to see the umpire go to bounce the ball but then stop and point at a player and say, hey, there's no visible panty line underneath your shorts.
Well, remember at country football, they always used to do fingernail checks. Did they do that at city football as well?
Yeah, fingernail checks and stud checks.
Yeah, so studs and fingernails before the game. And in netball, they used to do underwear checks. So this is really, maybe Razor Ray pops down to the rooms before the game and checks that everybody's not basic instincting it.
Mike House found some more information on other apparel. So Section B, undershorts may be worn by a player provided that the material is of a neutral beige color only and does not contain any sponsor advertising. Okay, so that's not specifying where they, that's just saying they will allow you to wear something. But that undershorts, that presumes, I think the writing that presumes is underwear involved anyway.
Right, and it presumes, but it doesn't.
Is this, I mean, sock, I know you, is this Sockgate for 2019?
I mean, I want to know. Oh, hang on. Jaden Stevenson's lack of underwear. What's this? I've found a reference here. Oh, it's on a podcast. Okay, we're going to have to, can't do that. Let's Jaden Stevenson. Let's see if we can, oh, no. It's Jaden Stevenson underwear. Let's news. Let's see if there's any news. No, can't find it. But apparently there is a reference to it on a podcast. So Jaden Stevenson's lack of underwear. So
do you think that goes into the opposition team planning? Like knowing that Jaden Stevenson doesn't wear underwear, do you think that helps like your defensive coach strategize how to slow him down?
Well, I would have thought so, right? I would have thought it'd be one of those things where, you know, like if Stevenson's dominating early, which he, you know, has a tendency to, you just got to dack him.
Yeah.
You've just got to dack him because you can't imagine that he's packing massive heat in the underwear, in the kind of
undercarriage,
or it'd be falling out the bottom of his shorts, right?
Yeah.
So
get into
you're
his
imagining
head, mate.
That it's not massive and you wouldn't want like, you know, 90,000 people at the MCG to see it if you dacked him.
Yeah. I mean, I think you don't even need to get as far as the dacking. I think you just get something out there like a Hayden Ballantyne, a real yapper, and get into his ear and start questioning, put that into his mind. Say, hey, mate, I know you don't wear underwear. You must be pretty undersized. Be pretty embarrassing if someone was to pull your shorts down and attack her, wouldn't it? Throw him right off his game.
I mean, why has this even come out? Like, how is this?
I don't know.
I brought it up.
There's
not a lot of information about it, but
did you just dream this?
Yeah, there's not a lot of references. I'm going to have to do some extra research. I'm literally going to have to do some extra research.
In the meantime, if any listeners out there know of any players, like maybe at your club or you know, whatever competition you play in that did not play with underwear, let us know. Write into us. Send us a message on the Facebook page and let us know your no underwear stories.
I mean, I've heard of no undie Mundy and stuff like that, but no. Okay. Well, I'm very... I mean, that'd be great if that was David Mundy's secret, that he'd played for so long because he was actually no undie Mundy and wore a pair of underwear in his entire 300 games that he's played for Freo. By the way, it will be a great loss to the game when David Mundy eventually retires from the game because he is keeping alive that typical Western Australian footballer look, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that stringy two-minute noodle haircut. Once that goes... First they came for our WA haircuts, then they came for our shark's tooth necklaces, then they came for our just jeans short sleeve shirts.
David Mundy, definitely not cool.
What about the Bulldogs? Who's your coolest player? Is it JJ?
I reckon JJ probably is. The only thing that might disqualify him is that idea of the sort of Nathan Fife, like, is he trying too hard to be cool?
Like, does he have like a t-shirt label or something? What's his side projects?
Well, he certainly has a bit of like, you know, loves the American sports and the way that they dress up and that sort of thing. So a bit styled on that. Bont's not cool, is he? He's a bit of a Fitzroy hipster, but he has a cool, like he's got that presence of like, I'm not trying to be cool, but I'm probably just cool anyway.
Well, Bob Murphy was the epitome of cool. Like, you legitimately could not get anyone, like, more sort of unique and interested in rock and roll and had tattoos and was a thinker, all those, and really his own person. So I think maybe the shadow of Bob Murphy over the club has meant that no one's really been able to rise to that level since.
Mike Howell, can you see if you can find a Marcus Bontempelli player profile, like one where he's answered a bunch of questions about what his interests are and stuff like that? Because that's where we'll get to it. I see Bont around sort of your Collingwood, Fitzroy. He's got that sort of Bob Murphy sort of style to him, very humble, you know. That's the Bulldogs' way. I did notice that with Norton, you know, when they were being interviewed after the game, and he's, you know, taken 9 contested marks, which is only one behind Wayne Carey's record of 10. And his whole interview was very much oh, I still think I'm a better backline player. And, you know, it's just good to have a kick and it's nice to be at the club. And I was just like, wow, you have the swagger on the field, but you certainly do not have the swagger in the interview post-game. Here we go. Pocket profile, Marcus Bontempelli. This is from 2017.
Okay.
So we're talking a couple of years ago. Let's see if he was cool back then. Okay, nickname, Bonty. Club supporter as kid, Richmond. That's, yeah, okay.
Hang
that's
on, sorry,
cool
just
already.
Pause. His nickname is Bonty.
Yeah.
But we all call him the Bont.
Well, he's the Bont now. He's graduated to being the Bont.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't think when you're, you know, 19 years old and you rock up the club, you go, my nickname is the Bont. I feel like the Bont is a nickname you have thrust upon you rather than a nickname you thrust upon yourself. Best moment in junior footy, kicked a goal for the first time. Okay. Before the game, I always walk and listen to music. Okay. All right. As a footballer, how would you like to be remembered? Honest. Okay. It's not very cool at this stage, to be honest.
No.
All-time favourite player, Matthew Richardson. Okay, that's cool.
He was cool. He was a cool player.
Richo was definitely cool. Eddie had a roof, open or shut? Shut, please. That's cool. It should always be shut.
is that really cool?
That is cool. Yeah, because you always want it to be like nighttime. You know what I mean? It's like being at a club. You don't want to be in the outdoors in the middle of the day.
Okay,
you
want
to pretend
sure.
You're not at Docklands. That's cool.
All right.
What would you like to do on your day off? Watch a movie? Okay, well, it doesn't really... There's not a lot of really specific information we're getting from Bonty here. All right. Which singer or band would you like to see perform at the AFL Grand Final?
This answer a lot.
Yeah, well, this determines one way or the other whether he's cool or not cool. And I'm going to suggest, based on this answer, Charlie, not cool. Because it's fair to, well, the band name has a number in it. Do you want to have a guess?
Maroon 5?
You're in the right zone.
30 Seconds to Mars.
No.
No?
Matchbox 20.
What?
Yeah.
No one listens to Matchbox 20. They haven't released an album in like 20 years.
Actually, Rob Thomas has a new solo album out that he was country promoting.
I forgot who you work for these days. Yeah, you would know, wouldn't you?
Played live at Eddie's desk.
Holy shit. Wow. A young person liking Matchbox 20. That's an anachronism.
I will tell you this, that Rob Thomas was on our show last week, and he was actually a really nice guy, and he was telling me a great story about smoking weed with Willie Nelson on Willie Nelson's tour bus. So anyway, I'm a bit more of a fan of... So I'm going to say that Rob Thomas, possibly cool, but Bonty, loving Matchbox 20, not cool.
Not cool.
Oh, hang on. Wait, there might be a comeback here, Charlie. Favorite city in the world to visit?
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. Yeah, you're back.
He's cool.
You're cool, Bonty.
You're back in.
What's next on your travel bucket list? New York. Okay, brilliant. Getting Going better now. Childhood hero. Now, this is where I would suggest, hopefully he's taking the piss, but maybe he's not. Apparently his childhood hero was the Red Power Ranger.
Joking. He's clearly joking.
Your wife, partner, or best friend would describe you as relaxed.
Well, that's a cool characteristic, cool. To be relaxed.
Least preferred household chore, taking the bins out. Cool people don't take the bins out, I'd imagine.
No,
so that
no way, Ma. Most admired, you don't can tell me what to do.
Bins. Most admired people you'd like to meet. LeBron James, cool choice.
Yeah.
Roger Federer. Yeah, pretty cool choice.
No, neither of those are particularly cool or interesting. If it
really?
Was like... Colin Kaepernick or something like that, you'd be like, oh, interesting. But, you know, LeBron's very, like, obvious.
Okay, you know what? Favorite TV show, not cool, Friends. So, sorry, nah. Not cool, Bonty.
Nah, I think we're really trying to make him cool, but he just sounds normal. He sounds normal.
No, I would say, yeah, I'm going to say not cool.
All right, we'll leave JJ as the Bulldogs' coolest player. What about the Hawks? They've got a few to choose from, I reckon.
Yeah, the Hawks. So who's their coolest player?
Well, Chad Wingard would like to be their coolest player, I think. But I reckon it's Isaac Smith.
Oh, yeah, Isaac Smith's pretty cool.
The way that little wink he gave to the Geelong guy before he took that shot and goal in that prelim, was it a prelim or a semi? That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Isaac Smith is cool. Ben Stratton is cool.
Yeah, Ben Stratton's cool.
Who else is cool?
Ed Hawk.
The Hawks.
James Sicily? Is he cool? No. I don't know if he's Steve Sanders. Cool.
No, he's more the... He's more the person that if you're at a nightclub and, you know, as a group of you, and say Ben Stratton came over and, you know, Isaac Smith came over and then James Sicily came over and he was on the edge, somebody would lean into the other two and go, hey, hey, your mate, is he cool? Is he cool? Should we get rid of him? Is he cool?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's always one dickhead in the group.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the Suns? Don't know any of them. I don't know who any of them are. Jared Harper, no. Was he cool?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. I don't know who the coolest player at the Suns is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What about North Melbourne? Bit of the same issue, right?
They don't have a... I mean, is...
Ben
is Sean Higgins cool?
Ben Cunnington, I think, maybe not cool, but if it was a movie and you had to get a badass into your unit, like you're going on some suicide mission, you'd go find Ben Cunnington in one of those kind of like... He's doing some illegal underground fighting thing and you have to sort of like, he's drinking whiskey after he's just like beating the shit out of some guy. Like, so he's cool in that sense. He's your Wolverine, Ben Cunnington.
Yeah, he's living in the mountains in some log cabin that he constructed himself. He used to work for some government agency and now he's just paying his bills doing underground street fights.
Yeah. What about Melbourne? Who's the coolest player at Melbourne?
Well, here's the problem with Melbourne. They all think they're cool.
Yeah,
that's the Melbourne problem. They all think that the is I mean,
well, we sort of said Max Gawn is the coolest, but he doesn't look cool.
No, well, Jaden Hunt looks the coolest, doesn't he?
Is he? Yeah, he does.
Cool. He wears his headband. He's got his flowing hair. He looks cool.
I love how the headband is enough to make him cool. Doesn't work for Reece Stanley, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, and then the last is a Swan. So I guess that's pretty obvious who the coolest player at the Swans
Buddy.
Is. Buddy. Easy.
Buddy's.
I mean, Buddy could be the coolest in the entire league, right?
I mean, he'd be right up there. If you were trying to pick the coolest player in the league, Buddy's still hard to beat in the cool stakes.
Who's the coolest player of all time? Who's the coolest player who ever played the game?
I mean, I think at some stage Dermot would have been, but unfortunately, like a lot of cool people... Like, sometimes if you try to keep being cool, post your cool.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to kind of age gracefully. Because if you end up being one of those people who's like, no, 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 I'm still cool. Yeah. I'm still cool. Eventually, you're like, that guy's not cool anymore.
You know who Dermot is? He's the Johnny Depp of AFL.
Yeah.
In his day, was so cool. But now it's like, oh, dude, you kind of look... bit weird now.
You're just a bit old for bangles now, mate.
Yeah, just get rid of the earrings. Ah, it's good to have you back. Half an hour in and we have not talked about any football of any great substance. What about the Gary Ablett? So as of recording this, Gary last night was exonerated, cleared of his high hit on Dylan Shear. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I thought that I kind of thought exactly what would happen. I thought that he'd probably get charged because technically, because of the way that the, you know, the MRO or the MRP works is that they've got guidelines and you tick some boxes. And so technically in the, you know, box ticking, he was going to be in trouble, but I thought he'd get off at the tribunal. I thought... There's three things they get. They get to consider an extra thing at the tribunal for a start, but I just thought that was a classic one where he'll get charged, he'll get a week, they'll take it to the tribunal, he'll get overturned. There's this clause that I wasn't actually aware of, but there is a literal good behaviour clause. And the fact that he's played like 320 games and never been suspended, he was always going to get... I reckon he would have always got off on that, let alone anything else. But also, he should just get off on the... He's playing amazing football and we're all really enjoying it. Let's not fuck it up, clause.
I was surprised.
That would have been my argument.
The replay, I mean, I know it's always difficult when you watch something in slow motion on a replay, but he left the ground and he did make high contact. I know it was fairly minimal impact, but I don't know. I was just sort of surprised. I was also surprised to see who was on the tribunal. It was Shane Wakelin, Stewie Lowe, one of the guys whose name I can't remember. Are those guys permanent tribunal members, or is it like a rotating system of ex-players?
I believe there's a rotating panel that they choose from because not everyone's always available, because it's like, it's not a, you need to have a pool that you can kind of draw from, because you never know when somebody's going to need to go to the tribunal. But,
yeah.
Well, I think also that what you said is right, is that I think in the replay, it looked worse than it was in real time. In yeah. real time, it looked like he was literally just trying to kind of protect the fall, and a free kick was, like, it was a free kick, no doubt, but it just didn't feel like he was trying to hit him in the head to me.
I mean, it would be great if the prosecuting QC, because the quotes they had in the paper were pretty snarky. Like, we talked about, well, it's pretty interesting that a man with such perfect balance over 300 games, you know, suddenly loses balance for this one incident. It'd be great if there's like an unredacted QC report that comes out this week where he just puts all his findings together.
Or even better, I would love if it was like, if it was said in that way. You know, where it was like, you know, it was just like, well, it's pretty suspicious that a man with perfect balance suddenly didn't have perfect balance in this situation. What say you to that, Gary Ablett?
They're like, does this QC have brain damage? I think maybe we need to get better reps. I like to think of like the tribunal as being like, you know, in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, when they accidentally go into the future and they see that tribunal of like judges of the future, all, it's like a darkened room and they're all sitting on these like enormous thrones in robes. I'd love to see like that's Gary Ablett walks in and there's like Stewie Lowe and Shane Wakelin on these big thrones in dark, cast in shadow.
I mean,
guilty.
It would be great if they just took that upon themselves to do that. Because what would happen? If, like, for example, if you rock up to the tribunal and you're one of the people who are on the panel and you just come in, because I can't imagine they, I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they say, hey, wear a suit or whatever. But I can't imagine that they would spend a lot of time telling the people what they have to wear if they're sitting on the tribunal, right? No. So you just one night rock up in like in a Grim Reaper style robe. Or like one of those judges wigs, like the knitted judges wigs, and you just wear it. And Stewie Lowe in a knitted woolen judges wig.
Guilty. With like just a huge, because he's got those big hands, like he's got a huge gavel, like an oversized, a comically oversized gavel. And they have to say to him, Buckets, mate, we don't use a gavel in this process.
What about the Saints?
I didn't see any of that. Well, you know what? That's not true. I was doing a class on Saturday and I had a lunch break that sort of coincided with the first quarter. And that first quarter was where GWS just went fucking ballistic. I think they kicked like 8 goals to our 1 goal 2. And I was like, okay, I don't need to watch any more of this. And then when I saw the result, I was like, I don't. From my Saints-loving friends, all the messages I got afterwards, because that's what happens, is I literally have to put my phone in flight mode if I'm not watching a game, because I become the center point for not only just Saints supporters, but all my friends who know I'm a Saints supporter love to message me. Either they're watching the first quarter. In fact, I mean, Adam Spencer, the son of a bitch, sends me a text. As I'm walking out of my class on my lunch break, there's a text on my phone where Adam says, looking good so far. And I was like, oh, great. I turned it on and the game had literally been going for 30 seconds. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. Like the warm-up or something?
I mean, technically he got in at the right time, because there wasn't a lot of opportunities after that to actually send that text message.
So I kind of was getting a few people sending me messages saying that's probably the worst performance we've had this year. But look, here's the thing. We have been overperforming. You know, considering our injuries and stuff, and we had a bunch of players who went out before that game, and we had an Irishman who's playing his third game of AFL on Jeremy Cameron. You know, the guy widely tipped to win the Coleman who could potentially win the Brownlow. So, you know, I think we're always behind the eight ball. I'm not too worried at the moment. I think we will lose to the teams that are better than us, and I think we're a chance with, you know, we're a mid-table team. I don't know. If we could get into the bottom half of the eight, then I'd be wrapped with that. But I think that this week this fortnight we have, I think we've got Collingwood and Geelong. So we'll know where we are in relation to the big boys after playing Adelaide, GWS, Collingwood and Geelong. We'll get a fair idea of where the Saints are sitting. And as long as we can sort of put in a good showing. I mean, I think we're playing West Coast on Saturday, and I think we're a sneaky chance to win that. So if we can go 5-3, or if we can get to, you know, 5-5, I'll be happy with that.
It is one of those things where you don't want to get unrealistic expectations. Like, because then you'd feel bad. You're like, if you'd been told where you were at this stage of the season, at the start of the season, you'd be like, great. We'll take that, particularly with the injuries you have and the players you've had out, to have the results that you guys have had so far, you would just be absolutely wrapped. But then you just get a little bit excited about, oh, hang on, this is going better than it should be. And then you get disappointed that you lose to GWS or something. And you're like, well, we should never beat GWS. Yeah. What am I talking about? Like, they're the best or second best team in the entire competition. Jeremy Cameron might be the first forward in like 20 years to kick 100 goals in a season. Yeah, we probably should lose to them.
Yeah, and the, like I was saying at the start of the show, it feels like that kind of season where, you know, it's so even that anyone can win on the day, anyone can lose on the day. So unless you are a Collingwood or a Geelong who just seem to have all the shit together, they have the right players coming good at the right time. I mean, I don't want to keep harping on about statistics, Will, but I think we fielded the youngest or second youngest team in the AFL on the weekend. So I'm keeping it all in perspective. I would like to see us win more games than last year. We've won as many as last year. So my bar for a satisfying season is not that hard. If we don't win another game for the rest of the season.
Your bar for a satisfying season is if we win one more game for the rest of the season, it's a victory.
Mate, that's how St Kilda's fans are talking at the moment. Like, we are really that battle scarred. There's a great blog, this guy, Tom Brabilia, right? I think that's how you pronounce his name. He writes this great Saints blog. So every week he reviews a game, long form, a bit Bob Murphy-esque in the way he does his writing style. But he sort of talks about how he's getting nervous that there's shades of 2014 when we finished last, where we won 3 out of our first 5 games, but we only won 4 games for the year. Like, it started off with this real, you know, upswing of positivity, and then just it all fell apart. Like, with the injuries we have, it's the longer the season goes on, the more exposed we're going to get as these young players, you know, start to tire.
And the other thing is that Richmond have showed us that if you like, even a team that's as well drilled and as good as Richmond are, and I think Richmond will probably still play finals, but like, without, if you're missing 3 or 4 of your absolute best players, it's still very hard to win week in, week out in this competition. So, you know, the Saints all kind of almost went into the season missing those players. So there is a chance you get a couple of those back at some stage and you're actually a better team, right?
Yeah, but don't you think more than that, it's consistency? Like, it's having players who have spent a significant amount of time together and they've just got that chemistry, you know, they know the systems really well. I think even if you bring back your guns in the last 6 rounds, like, A, they're probably going to be underdone, but then just catching up with the kind of the synchronicity of the system and you know, just getting to know their teammates, I think it's really hard to manufacture in short notice.
Is Hanbury cool? Is Dan Hanbury cool?
That's a good question. I think maybe he is. I think in a team where there's not much competition, I think Dan Hanbury is kind of cool. I mean, if you think about it, like, if it was 90210, because that's my go-to defining whether or not someone, if it's the Dylan Walsh test, like, he's come in from another place where he had a bit of a reputation. So he's got he comes in with a bad boy image. But he also is a guy, you know, who can sort of perform. Like, he's a bit – plays with heart. So he's got the heart of gold that you want.
He was really good mates with the coolest guy in the entire competition.
Yeah, that's right. He's best mates with the really cool guy. So I think, yeah, all right, I'll take that. Dan Hanbury is St Kilda's coolest player. He has to be rebuilt, but he's our coolest player.
Is there a possibility that that's why he was recruited?
Yes.
That's the thing. Like, you know, that Alan Richardson's looked at the list. And he's found a lot of really positives, a lot of things very pleasing, but he's been alarmed at the lack of cool they have down at the Saints. Yeah. And they just really went out and tried to draft some cool into the club.
Yeah, if you go into the team meeting room, there's just a huge poster of Luke Perry. Like,
yeah.
It's like, we need more of this.
That's why Alan Richardson's not actually that worried about the fact that he's not playing. He's like, it's not really what we recruited him for. You know, the good news is over summer, he had a great summer. They're like, well, he couldn't get on the track. He's like, oh, no, we don't care about that. He was at the Portsea Polo. He was down at Q Nightclub. You know, he was drinking three or four nights a week, meeting a lot of girls. Like, we've just really been impressed by his off-season.
Collingwood, I think our two tips for the premierships, you picked Geelong, I picked Collingwood. We're shaping up to probably be the best two teams of the comp. I mean, I know West Coast are in a bit of a flat patch, but...
I reckon there's three in it at the moment. And look, there's a long season, but at the moment, if you had to pick a premier, it would be GWS, the Cats, or the Pies.
Who do you want to win out of that three?
That's an interesting question. I'd be happy with any of those three. I reckon they're all really good teams. I reckon they've all been through enough that you don't feel like it's... And, you know, cheap. It's been a while since... I mean, look, Geelong, it hasn't been that long, but it's been enough time that you'd be happy, particularly with, you know, Ablett getting towards the end. And, it, you know, if Ablett managed to play in another premiership, you know, for Geelong, that'd be a great story. I think the Pies are probably the best team in it. And then I would say GWS are pretty close. And I think GWS have earned their stripes. You know, they've got to the point where I don't think people would be devastated if GWS won it now. So they're all pretty good teams, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't want Geelong to win just because we've heard it before, we've seen it before. Collingwood, obvious reasons why I don't want them to win. But if I'm in my heart of hearts, if I'm really honest, I do like Collingwood. I like watching them play. I like Nathan Buckley. I think he's the most interesting coach in the AFL right now. And then GWS, it's like, I think they're amazing. I love watching GWS. But do I want to see a team become equal on flags with St Kilda that's only been around for 7 years?
I mean, you may as well, right?
No.
Because you're not going to be able to lean into a story of success. That's well beyond you. Like, in your lifetime, they're never going to win the 13 or 14 premierships they'd need to for you to be considered as, like, a guy who barracks for a successful club. So you might as well lean into the story of being a loser. You know, it makes it even better if St Kilda actually managed to win a premiership that, say, GWS got one before, you know, you guys got one in the modern era. I think that would actually just makes the story even more powerful.
Yeah, I guess so. For them?
No, for the Saints as well, you know, because, like, because you were right down. You hit rock bottom before you came back up. Well, technically, rock bottom would be Gold Coast winning one before you guys. I mean, the Bulldogs did, so you're almost there.
Oh, God. Hey, have we got time for a bit of correspondence?
Yeah, let's do a quick bit and then do this weekend's games. Oh, by the way, we should just mention the Adelaide Fremantle game, which was possibly the worst game of football I've ever seen in my entire life.
I didn't see any of that game, and I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, it was like, it was just, I've never seen a more terrible, low-scoring game, in good conditions, a more terrible game.
So Blake writes in, hope this isn't too introspective for the pod, but I was curious how much you're barracking for your respective clubs. I'm curious how much you're barracking for your respective clubs as you aged. I don't know what that means. At 34 years old, I've finally thrown out the pair of boots I had in the garage just in case the Swans called me up, and I'm genuinely looking forward to exploring how my support for the team will change without me constantly judging myself against the players on the screen. Totally get it if you don't use the question. Thanks, guys. Well, we did use the question. I guess what you're saying is, did you ever have aspirations to play for the Bulldogs? How serious were they? And has that changed or affected your barracking for them?
Well, I do think there is a point of time in your life where, A, you become older than the oldest player. Because it's still the oldest player in the league. Like, when I look at Sean Burgoyne or whatever, you know, or I look at Gary Ablett at 35, they feel older than me still.
Yeah.
You know, like, I still look at them and I go, gee, they seem like old men, you know, because they're old footballers, even though technically, you know, actually, I'm like 10 years older than both of them, right? So technically, you know, the way time works, time and age works.
I'm aware.
Technically, I'm a decade older than them. When, you know, Nathan Buckley or someone comes into the radio, you always think, oh, look at this, you're adult. Whereas you're like, I'm the same age as Nathan Buckley. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not an old man compared to me. But I think that every AFL player is better than I ever was at football. So every single AFL player on every single list is better than I ever was at football.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I don't think I was well aware of my limitations as a junior footballer. I never thought I was going to get drafted or anything. But that thing of being older than a player, because I remember when I used to go to the footy and buy the footy record, the first thing I'd always go is to the date of birth. And I remember when I started seeing, oh, geez, these are getting closer to my age. And now knowing that I'm so much older than even our retired players, like I'm older than Nick Riewoldt, I'm older than Lenny Hayes. It's very humbling.
Well, I'm at the age now when, like, there was a period of time where the players were sort of a similar age to me, or at least in that zone where, so you might see them out at a bar or, like, you know, at a function or whatever, and you go and, like, chat to them because you'd have shit in common. Mm. But now when I talk to, like, you know, Bont and these ones, I actually do feel like, because I'm old enough to be their parents, I'm probably actually a similar age to what their parents are. And then suddenly you're just like, oh, God, I'm that old guy who, like, I don't even want to talk to you guys. Like, what do we have in common? I can't talk to you about, you know, the Red Power Ranger or Matchbox 20. I don't have these references.
Tim writes in, hey, Wee Wee and CC. Okay. Just a question or two I thought you could help me with. I live in Adelaide and I'm a massive footy fan. At least once a year, I like to travel to the mecca of footy for a weekend and watch as many games as possible. My first question is talking about
Metricon Stadium, obviously.
My first question is with the unpredictability of some teams this year, and can you suggest a round which you think would be a rip snorter to head over for? I couldn't help you there. Will, any tips for a round that might be good? I mean, probably I would have said Anzac Day would have been good to get over for, but you missed it. Well, by the time we read this anyway.
Well, any of those kind of specialist game rounds, yeah. Right? Like anytime there's an event and they have like a, I always say, oh, you know what? The Freeze MND game is always an amazing game of football, and obviously for a really good cause as well. So, you know, something like that, I reckon, is always a good one to come over.
I mean,
for.
if you want to keep on driving up the road to Queensland, you could go for the next Q Clash. I mean, as we all know.
Yeah, but we just had a Q Clash. You can't hold on that long for the next Q Clash.
Marquee game. Second question. I have a mate who loves footy, who I usually make the annual trip with, but in the last year I've met a girl and things are going really well.
Okay.
She's also a big fan of Melbourne and has said how she would love to go with me. Now, my big dilemma is my footy-loving mate and my girlfriend do not, in capitals, get along. And to avoid conflict, I only want to invite one. Do I invite my mate and tap out on footy games and partying, or my beautiful, loving girlfriend for guaranteed sex? Thanks. Love the pod and love you guys.
Firstly, here's what I would say.
Yeah.
This is the year 2019. Having a girlfriend does not just guarantee you sex.
Yeah.
It's whether she is up for the sex or not. But I understand the kind of vague point that you're making. Mm. Here's what I would like to see him do. What's our correspondent's name? First name. Just first name.
I don't
name.
Know. Don't... I've just already scrolled past it.
Okay. All right.
Whatever. Buddy.
Buddy. Just call him Buddy. So, Buddy, this is what I would say to you. If I've learnt nothing from sitcoms of the 70s and 80s, what you've got to do is invite them both.
Oh, Tim. His name's Tim. Sorry.
Tim,
yeah.
Tim, you've got to invite them both, but not let either of them know that the other one is there, and constantly be rushing from one thing to the other thing to make sure that they're both having a good time.
Or just talk your best mate into giving you a hand job in the car on the drive over.
I mean, I just like to see, like, you know, they're out at a fancy restaurant, for example, you know, Tim and his girlfriend, and he's just like, you know what? I'm just going to duck outside for a minute, make a phone call. He runs down to the MCG, watches a quarter of footy, and then he says to his mate, he's like, mate, I'm just going to go get us some beers from the bar, rushes back to the restaurant, you know, has dessert with his girlfriend, has to rush back. That's what I want to see.
And and he's also going to be wearing two different outfits. Like, he's going to be wearing, like, a nice shirt and stuff. And then he gets confused and he runs into the restaurant, but he's wearing his footy scarf. And she's like, where'd you get that? And he's like, they were giving them away on the street.
He's still got his face partly painted in his team colours.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to tips, shall we?
Yes.
Michael, can you bring up the games this week? On Friday night, Sydney take on Essendon at the SCG. Boy, oh boy. As discussed with Spence last week, Sydney are in a rebuild. The SCG is no longer the fortress it was. Essendon will be smarting and looking to beat someone up. I think the Bombers in this game.
I think that you're probably right. Everything that makes sense suggests that you are right. But I'm just going to... I've got a funny feeling about this that Sydney... Sydney are definitely in a rebuild. But I do think they're just going to, you know, snatch one every now and again. And I didn't think they were actually terrible. I watched Sydney play and I didn't think they were terrible. In fact, Papley played one of the best games I've ever seen him play. I thought he was really fantastic. I'm going to say Sydney. I'm going to say Sydney win that.
What's your read on Essendon? Like,
don't know yet.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, isn't it? Like, they had that purple patch for about 3 weeks. We're like, oh, okay, this is the Essendon we thought we were going to see. And then it's like, huh, maybe they're not as good as we thought.
Well, I think they played a really good team on the weekend, so it's a bit hard to tell. And Stringer was great. Like, he was really good. Like, he's really turning into some good form now for Essendon. Like, on paper, I reckon Essendon win that. But I just I'm yet to be convinced by the Bombers. Not quite sure yet.
On Saturday, the Western Bulldogs take on the Lions on the planet Mars.
Yeah, on the planet Mars. Actually, harder to get to than the planet Mars because it's at Ballarat, where we have a terrible record. We have actually, it's meant to be our fortress and it's terrible. We play terribly there. We don't like it very much. But Brisbane are good. Like, I watched them play on the weekend and they are genuinely a very good team. But as I always do, I'm going to pick the Bulldogs.
Shit. Have you won in Ballarat?
Don't know if we actually have won there yet. Okay, we certainly do not have a good record there.
I'm going to pick the Lions then. Just because of the ground.
I don't think the Lions have won much in Ballarat either, but yeah. No, you're right.
You know, 20 years ago, this would probably be the biggest game of the year. Not so much anymore. It's Carlton taking on Collingwood at the MCG.
I mean, after the week that Carlton has had, like, they were embarrassing. And then Collingwood, you know, possibly premiership favourites. Carlton have a habit of getting up for really big games against Collingwood. You know, a couple of years ago, they spoiled their 150-year celebration or whatever it was, beat them that day. They play better when they play Collingwood. But there is no way that Carlton will win this. Collingwood will win by heaps.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, Collingwood disproving their backs against the wall theory this year. Their backs are so far from the wall, and they're still playing well.
Well, is there a chance that their backs are so far from the original wall that they've got closer to another wall that we didn't notice across the room?
Front on.
Yeah.
Fronts to the wall.
Fronts to the other wall.
I'm going to pick Collingwood in that game as well. The Mighty Suns take on Melbourne at Metricon Stadium. Oh, God. Now, look, there's only one outcome that would make me watch this game, and that is the Demons to get out to a big lead. Big, big lead. And them to start strutting around, thinking they fucking got it in the bag, and then for Gold Coast to just come in, Carmichael Hunt style, and just snatch a victory after the death. That's what I want. I'm going to pick the Gold Coast, and that's my lock of the week.
I would love to see that also, so fuck it, Gold Coast.
Saints take on West Coast Eagles at Marvel Stadium, our only Saturday night game this year. The AFL have saw fit to give us one primetime game, so big stage for us, chance to make a statement. West Coast are only just going. They only just got across the line against the Suns last week. But we have had a habit of playing teams into form this year. We got Adelaide back into form. GWS got their mojo back against us. So let's hope that we don't do that. I'm going to pick the Saints.
I reckon West Coast get their mojo back and win that. But not by a heap, I don't think.
Port Adelaide take on Adelaide. Oh, it's showdown weekend. Ooh. Our mate Tim should just stay in Adelaide for this weekend. Girlfriend and his best mate.
It's very hard to pick this one, I reckon. Like, I don't know who... It's very hard to know what Adelaide's form is. It's very hard to know what Port Adelaide's form is week to week. I actually thought that Port weren't terrible apart from the first quarter against the Pies. I'm going to say Port Adelaide win this.
Adelaide are back in form, so I'm going to say Port will win this. Because that's how it goes with Adelaide. On Sunday... Kangaroos, who found a bit of, dare I say, a shinbone spirit. Well, actually, they didn't find shinbone. Hang on. My wife's calling me. I've got to hang out. Well, sorry. I have to cancel that call. Tim, that's what happens. Take your best, mate. You hang up on your wife and a footy podcast after a while. Yes, North. It wasn't really Shin Bonus Spirit last week because they only beat Carlton, but they showed some form. They showed the form we all thought they were going to have at the start of the year, but they're taking on Geelong. Doesn't matter. It's at Marvel. Geelong will win that game.
Yeah, I reckon this is a danger game for Geelong. You know, Dangerfield's, you know, a bit hobbly.
Yeah, you got me they might rethinking rest, that.
They might rest a couple of players. North Melbourne have got a bit of form up and about, but no, I think Geelong win as well.
Yeah. I'm going to change my tip, actually. I'm going to say North win that game because I think you're right. I think Geelong have been up for a long, long time, and this is a danger game. Okay, Hawks
and
take
it is
on.
That season where, like, sometimes yeah. you can just pick a team to lose based on the fact that they've won heaps in a row. Like, yeah. it's almost the reverse. It's like, oh, you know, they've been good, like, 6 weeks in a row. They're due a loss.
Yeah. Hawthorn take on GWS, the MCG. Giants for me.
Yeah, Giants.
And the last match is Freo taking on Richmond at Optus Stadium.
Freo
in good form. Richmond limping a little bit, but who knows?
Freo were no good, though. Against, I didn't think that Freo were great against Adelaide, to be honest. Mm. Gee, this is a really hard game to tip. Like, Freo much better at home, obviously. Boy. I'm going to say Richmond, off the loss of last week, travel across the country and stick it up Freo at their home ground. And that is my lock of the week.
That's a very small sounding lock.
Sorry, I didn't.
You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you want to send us a message, the best way to do that is to go to our Facebook page, Two Guys, One Cup AFL. You can also go to tofop.com to check out our other great podcast. Will, do you have anything to promote?
No, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Play on, not 15.
Bolt. We are two guys, one cup.